Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have a multifaceted individual with me, Mr. Sambit Chakrabarty. Sambit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Sambit is an independent management consultant. He's a coach and he's somewhat of a supply chain guru. So Sambit, tell me a little bit about your early work, some of your early learnings and your challenges.
Sure. So I started working in the US right out of university, and it was with a consulting company. And at that time, it was obviously I was the junior most person in the value chain, so limited to making proposals and copy pasting things. Correct. And I thought, you know, I wanted to do something interesting. Mm-hmm. So at the time in the early 90s, it was not that common for people. I had gone to US when I was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. So people from that background getting into sales, but I thought I really enjoyed sales. Mm-hmm. So, and if you recall, IT was just this vague new thing coming into play in the mid 90s. So that's what I got into. And I worked in various companies in the US in IT. And then I got married in 99. US is tough for family to get adjusted to if you've never been there.
Yeah.
So I moved to Europe and I worked probably the most interesting phase of my life with two companies. One was Bearing Point, which is not known in India, but worldwide is one of the world's largest consulting firms, which uses behavioral modification. It's a very unique concept. It's a very neat concept. Behavioral modification to increase performance, output, outcome. It's outcome driven, but instead of the usual tools, it uses behavioral modification.
So tell me a little bit about what is behavioral modification.
So you see, when we get into our rhythm of working, we pick up habits and we pick up certain norms of working. Right. As we get older or as we get more into the system, unlearning becomes more of a challenge than learning. Right. But also with time, a lot of wastage in effort. So you work on lead times instead of touch time. So touch time basically, to have a very simple concept, is the amount of time it'll take you to say send this email. But you ask somebody, when can you send me the email? He will say by close of business today. So it really take you 8 hours to write the email. It doesn't. So in complex processes, Ashutosh, what happens is when you go by lead time, everybody puts a buffer on a buffer. So the project tends to get delayed, right? And the bottleneck or the stuff that is actually blocking us or the critical stuff revolves around the bottleneck because everybody wants to play safe. So behavioral modification uses tools to identify what these obstructions are and to work on the obstructions. And this can work in both repetitive service industry, sales, marketing kind of environment, or manufacturing. So for example, we were putting up the London Underground. Certain road work had to be done in central London, right? And we realized that the bottleneck was this drilling machine, which we realized that that is the thing that has to be operational all the time, no matter what. So the bottleneck was built around the tooth, you know, those big nails that go in and dig up the road. And we had no person. So we had 8 people. We over-invested in resources, 8 people, so that the driller was never left idle, right? Now, if we had gone by traditional methods, we would have said this will take 6 months. We did it in 2 weeks, right? Oh. So these are behavioral modifications that changes your thinking process. So it was very interesting. And then on a flight, I met this gentleman called Eliyahu Goldratt, Eli Goldratt, and he was known before that. Well, he's still known for the book The Goal. And I started working with him and was involved with Goldratt in projects in India, in Tata, in Mahindra Group, in some of the big names, you know, Dr. Reddy's Labs. So that was the transformative part. And then I moved back to India in 2013 and worked for a supply chain company. And I decided, then I worked for a subsidiary of Venky's, Venkateshwara Hatcheries, chief strategy officer. And I decided that, you know, I probably was coming out of that phase in life where I can work 9 to 5.
Okay.
So I started my own thing in 2015.
Wonderful. So tell me about the kind of work you do as a consultant.
Today, I focus on two things. So like I was telling you in a little bit of detail about the behavioral thing. So I work with companies. It's a very simple value proposition to multiply your sales and profitability.
Okay.
So that's a pretty simple thing. Mostly, I use techniques which I spoke about in terms of managing the resources and to get them orientation. And it is amazing. I tell people, no matter what the economic circumstances, if you do the right things, your sales will multiply. And even now, you'll find it interesting. In the last 6 months, when everybody is cribbing, we are growing. The companies I'm working with, we are growing 40%+ Y on Y.
So tell me, what are you doing differently from other companies? I mean, you know, increasing revenue, increasing profits is everyone's objective. What are you doing differently?
Sure. So when one of the problems that companies use, measure, we measure by lag measures. So we measure, as you know, what are your quarterly sales numbers or what are your annual profits and all that. When you move the entire thing into lead measures, right, you know, for you to get X revenue, you need to have so many proposals and so many leads, and therefore so many cold calls need to be made, or such a marketing effort needs to be made. And this is my cycle time of sales, you know, 6 months. So this needs to be made now. And you break it up into short interval control. So what can you do on a weekly basis to make that goal happen, right? You break behavior up into lead measures and into short interval controls. It makes the outcome influenceable and predictable.
Okay.
Otherwise, the outcome is what people affectionately, when I got trained in this, talk about as, oh, wow, or oh, crap, you know. So because the event has happened and you can have one of two reactions. But to make the event outcome based on predictability and influenceability, you have to break the outcome backwards into small targets on a weekly basis, because human mind and human focus doesn't stay for a whole year.
Correct.
When you're breaking it into short interval controls, it takes you in a certain direction. Say for example, in a football match, right? If your outcome is to win the match, the lag measure is the score line, right? And you can go, oh, wow, or oh, crap. But the lead measure is ball possession, or successful passes, or first time touches. When you start measuring them, behavior modifies towards those intermediate goals. It's very interesting. I mean, even years later, I still feel excited talking about it.
So, Sambit, you also spend a lot of time with supply chains.
Yes.
From the time when I used to work for ITC in the 80s, where it used to be called distribution, today it's become almost a science. How have you seen supply chains change over the decades?
See, Ashutosh, earlier when we used to deal with supply chains, it was focused on the manufacturer's convenience or the supplier's convenience, right? So it was focused on batch sizes being bigger so that you don't have to change mold all the time, right? Or the sheets that have to be cut for a certain, say, refrigerator or a stamping part should all be cut and then kept in inventory. Today, and this is a paradigm shift, right? Michael Dell did that in the late 80s, and then Amazon took it to another level where the consumer wants the thing now, right? So the entire, as you know, the entire value has changed to a replenishment or a pull mode. Right. And the people who are doing well, no matter where you look at it, say, if you look at fast fashion, then the Zaras of the world, which changes their lines every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's a fresh look all the time. They use this technique of postponement where they keep everything, you know, to the last possible part of assembly and then give you the unique experience by assembling it quickly together. There are lots of logistics issues that come into play that way. So there was this interesting project we did at Caterpillar in Batam where you'll find this interesting. So we were making, you know, those big backhoe loaders and OHTs, off-highway trucks, you know, those things, huge wheels and stuff. And we would make them at the factory. drive them on the road to the shoreline, okay, and then strip them apart. Mm-hmm. Because there was tax benefits to export spare parts, but a huge tax on finished goods. Mm-hmm. Strip them apart, load it onto the barge, load it onto the ship. On the ship, we would reassemble them, and they would roll off in Turkey or Liverpool or wherever it was supposed to go. So today the supply chain has become a lot more complex in terms of the fulfillment of things. And also technology has paid a lot of thing on, you know, just in time, postponement. But Ashutosh, the biggest thing that I feel is coming, which is on the cusp of breakthrough, is all these conversations we are having of China being the supply chain of the world and India trying to take over. We'll all go for a toss because of 3D printing. You know, today we are looking at 3D printing where Massachusetts Institute of Technology is taking body tissue and making body parts or valves, you know, taking medicine. But the most interesting project I read about recently is that the astronauts were struggling with how do I build a colony on Mars, right? And they realized that instead of transporting things which will take a long time and huge payload and all that, they will take this huge 3D printer and they will build colonies. I mean, it's unthinkable. You know, the supply chain will go for a toss because everything will be made in matter of minutes in the lab if you have the right imprint. I think this is going to revolutionize the entire supply chain ethos that we, this is, I would call it the third big disruption. You know, the first big disruption was the concept that a part can be made anywhere in the world and we can get it together if we plan properly. The second big was, you know, it can be assembled at the last minute and customized and sent the last mile, which is what Amazon is working on even now, you know, the robots and the automated delivery. But I all this will be disrupted again and the paradigm will shift again. That's my theory.
Amazing. So, you know, you've spoken about how technology is going to change supply chains. And, you know, one thing that you spoke about was 3D printing and how that is going to virtually completely change the way supply chains function. But, you know, as customers, it is still very important for us to get our goods on time. As of now, we still have the delivery boy who gets onto his motorcycle, puts his heavy backpack and comes to our house and delivers it.
Yes.
What is your thought on using technology like drones to be able to deliver? And how will India be able to cope with such technology?
Well, first of all, drones is the thing and it's going to come into mass usage within, I feel, this decade. Right, because it's making, as we produce more, the stuff gets cheaper, it becomes more artificially intelligent, machine learning is enabling it to make decisions mid-flight or whatever. India, unfortunately, Ashutosh, and this is probably the sad part, in spite of all our conversations about, you know, becoming a hub and manufacturing base and all that, the legal framework and the execution framework is many, many years behind, right? The infrastructure development is many, many years behind. Even today, with all this push, if you have to set up something in India or move to a new technology, you need more than 100 permits and licenses.
True.
I feel that India, unfortunately, and I'm a big patriot, but reality is reality, I feel that we need the government and the lawmakers to move with agility and with speed, not only agility, but speed in certain key areas if we are going to take over technology. I'll give you a small example. India was supposed to be the first on-the-ground implementation of the Hyperloop, right? Which was going to reduce travel time from Bombay to Pune to 25 minutes.
Correct.
Government changed. And the contract was put on hold with Richard Branson, right?
Very unfortunate.
I think these things are very emotionally handled by our politicians, with all due respect to them. Yeah. But for us to be at the cutting edge and actually become the supply chain hub, we need to over-invest in things like 3D technology, like infrastructure development, like communication, not be the seventh for 5G, but the first or second in line, mm-hmm. you know, with speed of data transfer and work on those specific areas. Yeah. The good and the bad thing about India is that there's opportunities everywhere, right? Sorry. The bad thing is there's opportunities everywhere.
let's move on. You know, you're also a coach.
I am. Yeah.
And so I have a few questions for you on coaching before I move to the third section, which is on personal questions.
Legendary coach yourself.
No. Tell me, why has coaching become so relevant in India? Traditionally, coaching was always done by grandparents or parents or by someone's boss. Now people are willing to pay for it. What has changed?
I think three things happened. Okay. One is we became a part of the global economy,
correct,
where we were competing not with homegrown talent, but with the best in the world, right? And we realized that to do that effectively, our decision-making process, our information gathering process, data analytical process, our people management, our relationship management with the larger ecosystem, all these things are something that we are just not geared up for.
Correct.
So there was an operational need for coaching. The second was the performance thing. You know, when you compete with the best, being number one in the Ranji Trophy is very different than playing in the ICC Championship, right? It needs a different... So coaching... is a vast term. There is mental conditioning, which the Indian cricketers are going through, which I don't know anything about. There is mentoring, like, you know, passing on skill sets, succession planning, which I'm sure you are involved with some of those, Ashutosh, which people set up the generational change and the handoff. And there is performance coaching, which is what I do. But in general, to answer your question, the need for coaching, the need for being competitive in these various environments, to be able to take care of your mental conditioning, of your ability to interact and manage people, of your ability to manage performance. These things, I think, leadership in India, and especially with expats coming into the value chain, with communication becoming ubiquitous, came into the mainstream. So that's why I think a lot of people are willing to invest and invest a considerable amount of money.
Correct.
Unfortunately, like you know, Ashutosh, because you are, like I said, a legend in coaching. But the problem is, like anything that comes into mainstream, there is always the Sri Sri Ravi Shankars who have their coaching.
Absolutely. So my next step on coaching is that who, in your opinion, should look for a coach?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. We can all deal with coaches at any point in our lives, right? Looking back at it, I wish I had a coach earlier in my life, right? Who would not necessarily... See, a good coach is not somebody who tells you what to do or it gives directions. A good coach is like a mirror, right? He tells you as things are and as things can be, right? Mirror doesn't judge, or a good coach, I really like this analogy, is like a compass. It shows you the direction, right? It doesn't tell you to go by ship or by plane or walk or whatever. I feel anybody can use a coach in a corporate world. I feel current layer one of leadership and L-1 and L-2, different aspects of coaching could use a coach.
Very interesting. So my last question to you on coaching before a few questions on for you personally. From a coachee perspective, how does a coachee evaluate a coach?
Right. This, for me, the answer is actually takes me back to my behavioral, modification stuff and bearing point. When you hire a coach, see, just like your requirement for medicine or health changes in your life, right? Your coach will change in your life. In the life cycle of coaching, it will change. You would have hired a coach with certain outcomes or objectives in mind, right? And there would have been a good coach will automatically chart that out for you.
Correct.
And in that discussion, you will realize there are some things you thought you wanted, which you don't really want, and some things you want, but faster or slower or whatever.
Yeah.
those objectives must be very clear, right? And it's like a bond that you sign with your coachee. I feel it's a journey and it has to be finite. I don't see coaching as an infinite thing. And you hand over somebody to somebody else, you know, where that part of their growth, his or her growth becomes, comes to the fore, right? Correct. So I feel it is time bound and objective oriented, and there should be milestones, just like in any project we do, right? There are milestones.
Correct.
There should be milestones and this should be outcome driven.
Very interesting. So sometimes I've got time for a few personal questions for you.
Sure.
My first question is that, you know, you've worked in America, you've worked in technology, you worked with supply chains, you've been a consultant, you've been on your own. Over this period, have there been people who've had an influence on you? And if yes, give me two examples of what have you learned from them?
Okay. So the person who has had a lot of influence professionally is Ellie Goldratt. And I remember his absurd amount of confidence in doing things because he really believed in something, right? And he believed he can do well. So I remember him talking to the Tata leadership, and they were talking about, we have done this project and that project and all that. And Ellie said, oh, listen, that's all BS. Talk to me if you want your top line today to be your bottom line in 4 years. So the ability this guy, the confidence he exuded and the ability this guy had in a sentence to change the paradigm, that was inspirational for me. And the other person who had a remarkable influence, which I didn't realize till later in my life, was my first boss. So Jim. So he would give me these wise words of wisdom, which at that time I thought, what the heck is he talking about, you know? But later in life, it made a lot of sense in a funny kind of way. So as I was saying, so something came to mind. So, you know, I would always crib about, I was young at the time, you know, in your early 20s, and I don't have, you know, typical thing, I don't have this, people are not giving me this information, and this person in the team is not doing this, and I would go with him with a list of complaints. And Jim said, you know, Sam, do something. Hire a very lazy person. I said, what is he talking about? You know, like everybody says, hire the most enterprising person with ability, hardworking, all that. What is he talking about? And he said, I said, why? He said, because the lazy person will always find the shortcuts.
Okay.
You know, at the time I thought, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
You realize that he may not be saying it in the most sophisticated way, but he is was right on the dot, you know.
Very, very interesting.
Other thing I remember when I was leaving, and you know, there was a lot of organizational changes, and I said, you know, blah blah blah, and he said, see Sam, I'll give you three choices, okay? I'll tell you three things, and then the decision is yours. And he was like a perfect compass, you know. And he said, the decision is yours. Number one, I can tell you that things will get better, right? And that is true for most things in life. That's a motherhood statement.
Correct.
Doesn't do you much good. Number two, you can choose to stay and work it out, right? Struggle through and all that. I don't know how tough the journey will be on you. I can't. It's your journey.
Correct.
And number three, you can leave.
Right.
So I thought, okay, that's what was that? Later on in life, I realized, Ashutosh, that those are pretty much the only three choices you can give to anybody.
Absolutely right. So true. Time for two more questions. What would be three words that define Samvit?
Okay, so I would say humorous, goal-orientated, and innovative.
Wonderful.
If somebody said that about me, I'd feel very happy.
Wonderful. Okay. And my last question to you, you know, based on all your experience, what would be the advice you would give to a young individual starting off their journey in life?
So I'm going to use a very cliched thing.
Absolutely. Right?
That if money was not a driver, because to young individuals, money matters. To me, it mattered. If money was not a driver, what would you do? And whatever is the answer, chase that. Okay. Chase that as if there is nothing else in the world. That's your only option. So I wish I mean, of course, I'd heard it before, but I wish I'd had the courage to do that earlier in my life. I am so much happier today, Ashutosh, when I'm not in a 9-to-5 job saying yes or no to promoters or all that. And today, you know, so I had a lot of clients in 2019 and fewer clients now in 2020 because of COVID and all that. But for the first time in my life, it didn't affect me mentally or psychologically, because I knew things would be, because I'm chasing my dream and good things will happen, you know? So, and you come across legends like you who give me time in an interview.
Such an honor to have you. So Sambit, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, and I wish you lots of success.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for having me, and it's an honor to be able to spend time with you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.